something you won't hear from me often is me coming out of the Old Testament. It's not something I understand, not something my brain allows me to comprehend very well. BJ called me last week and said, I need you to preach for me on Wednesday night, right where the Lord took me. He got better. He was able to come on Wednesday night. I believe the Lord has laid this on my heart for a reason. I like to have a sheet slap full of notes. That way when I get up here, I don't run out of things to say, things to do. And it still only takes me 10 minutes, if that. And tonight I've got nothing but just 4 points and that's it. With nothing under them, nothing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. Juddy come up here this morning and, are you dead to your sin? And the Lord's hit me all week with, are you washed? There's a lot of folks who's dead to sin, who's dead to the things of this world they've done, but they've never been washed in the blood of Jesus. And when they stand before Him on Judgment Day, they'll stand there and they'll say, well, I quit drinking. I hadn't touched a drink in 25 years. I hadn't smoked in 25 years. I hadn't cussed in 25 years. I hadn't done this. I hadn't done that. And you say, but you've never been washed. You've never been washed in the blood of Jesus. In 2 Kings chapter number 5, if you will stand tonight, 2 Kings chapter number 5. We'll be talking about a man named Naaman. And I'm not a very good reader, but we're going to read 14 verses tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 5, it says, now Naaman, captain of the host, the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Verse number 2, and when the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were the prophet that were in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Verse number 7, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter and rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, and this man to send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh the quarrel against me. And it was so when Elijah the man of God had heard the king of Israel and rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Verse number 9, so Naaman come with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike thy hand over the place and recover the leper. And not Abana and Pharpar and rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel, but may I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went in rage. Verse number 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to come and do some great thing, whetherest thou not done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? In verse 14 he says, and then he went down and he dipped himself into the Jordan 7 times, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh again, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Lord, I love you tonight, God. I thank you, Father, for a chance to stand behind your pulpit. God, I ask that you would get me out of the way tonight, God. If I would babble anything that would not be what you would want me to say, God, I pray that you'd shut my mouth tonight, God. Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, that
you just evaluate my life, evaluate this church tonight. God, I pray that we find ourselves washed in the blood of Jesus tonight, God. God, I pray tonight we'd find ourselves whiter than snow, Father. God, I pray tonight, Father God, that you'd sit down on me. God, I pray that you'd sit down on this place. God, we see all around there's revival taking place in America. God, I want revival to take place here. God, I want revival to spread across Beaverton, Alabama, Marion County, Lamar County, Father God. I pray that the same God of this day, Father God, would sit down today, Father God, and he would just have his will and have his way in this country. God, I pray that you'd have your will and way in my life, God. God, I pray that you'd move on this place. Lord, I love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we come here in 2 Kings chapter number 5. I want to do something a little bit different. I've never done this, but tonight I don't want to sit here and just bring out a bunch of points and do this. I'm just going to kind of tell you the story and how I see it, how it comes to my life. It's a little bit easier to me. In the Old Testament, the words and the names and all that, they get in my mind. I get distracted. I get confused. So here we got a man named Naaman. And he comes in and we see that Naaman, in verse number 1 here, it says he was a great man. He was an honorable man. He was a mighty man, but he had a problem. See, Naaman, he was all these things. He was a good man, an honorable man, a mighty man, but he had an external problem. He was a leper. Had this stuff going on that couldn't no man touch, couldn't no man do anything with. And that makes me think about my own life and the job I work in. And when I get home at night and I'm washing my hands and I'm taking a shower and I'm scrubbing my hands and I get out and my hands are still stained. From a distance, they may look good to y'all, I don't know, but if you get up close to them, they're stained and there's just black stuff all in them, and you can't get that out. It's way down in there, way down deep. And man, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to go to places and eat where Mexican, you got to get chips out with other people. Man, it's embarrassing. It drives me crazy. People feel like you're nasty. You got stuff down in you. You can't get it out. You can't come off. And every night I get in the shower and I start scrubbing and I scrub and I scrub, and my hands will be raw when I get out. They just hurt and they throb all night. And I get up the next morning and they're still stained. They're still stained. And boy, when I brought this message years ago, we was doing jail ministry, and God showed me that. And he said, "You're still stained. You're still stained. There's stains down deep inside of you that you can't get out. There's only one thing that can touch them, and it's the blood of Jesus. You must wash in the blood of Jesus." And Naaman, he's here, and he's got to be washed. He's got that stain that's so deep. And tonight, I just want the church, and this is what God's put on me. I want the church, I want me, I want you to evaluate your life. The only way revival can come is if we get those old stains out. You see, I'm stained up because of the things I've handled, the things I've touched, and the things I've done. And our walk with Christ will get stained when we dabble with sin, when we handle sin, and we play with it, and we fiddle with it. We might get rid of it, might get away from it, but you still got to be washed. Still got to be washed. And Naaman, he come here, and they said, "You can go to this king, and he can get rid of your disease. Can get rid of your disease." And Naaman said, "Okay, well, I'm going to go." And Naaman went, and the king, he comes there, and verse number 7, it says that when it came to pass, the king of Israel had read the letter, and he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive this man to send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, how he seeketh the quarrel against me." Don't you know, he come to this king, and the king couldn't do nothing for him. A lot of times, as a preacher and as a ex-Sunday school teacher and just being in church for a while, you'll see how people will come into the church and they'll want something out of you. They'll want something from the Sunday school teacher. They'll want something from the deacons. They'll want something from the church. They'll want something from the pastor. And when they don't get it, they get mad and they leave, and it just don't work out. Once you know Kent Naaman, he come here and he wanted something from the king and it didn't work out. So Elijah, he heard about this, and Elijah said, "Won't you send him to me?" Well, here he's got this disease, and he's done got disappointed once. The king couldn't do nothing for him. He's done been disappointed. So he goes to Elisha, supposed to be a prophet, a man of God. He gets there, and it says all his horses and all his chariots, they pull up at Elisha's front door, and they're sitting there, and
verse number 10, it says that Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean."
But you see in verse 11, it says that Naaman got mad about that. Elisha didn't even care enough to come out there himself. I know a lot of times in my life, if I've got something coming on, going on, and maybe I want the church to make a big deal out of it. Maybe I want somebody to make a big deal out of it. It kind of just don't get made a big deal as I want it to. It's going to make me mad. It's going to make me mad, and I'm not going to be satisfied with the way things come about, and I'm not going to be satisfied with the way God's wanting to do something in my life. And boy, I got to thinking this week as I was studying, a lot of times in a Christian's life, maybe tonight somebody's going through this, God's telling you to do something. God's been telling me to do something. And the way He's answering it, the way I've been asking Him to do something, the way He's telling me to do it, it ain't the way I'm seeing it needs to be done. And I'm getting mad about it, and I'm not liking it. But Naaman come here, and Elisha standing there, and he sent out his messenger. He told him to go wash in the Jordan. Well, according to Naaman, the Jordan was nasty. The Jordan was not as clean, and it wasn't as powerful, and it wasn't as all these things it needed to be as these other rivers that he could have went and washed in, and he could have went and done, and the things he could have told him to do. And Naaman's just mad at this point. He is mad. He's discouraged. He's disappointed. He's been discouraged. And I want you to know, Naaman, he went here. And I seen something in the text that says, verse number 13, it says, "And his servants came near and spake unto him, saying, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, would you not have done it?" Maybe you're in here tonight, God's telling you to do something. I just don't know about it. That's not... not what I'm picturing it needs to be doing. Maybe he's telling you to come in, and you've been wanting to do something for the church. You've been wanting to get closer to God, and he's telling you to start picking up the trash you see laying in the floor. Candy wrappers all throughout the sanctuary, and he's been telling you just pick one up every now and then when you walk by it. Now, how is that going to get me closer to you, Lord? Maybe that's what he's telling you to do. I don't know. Naaman, he didn't think this was the right way to go. He's done got mad. He's done got discouraged. Done got disappointed. But I see in verse 13, he had a friend. I'm not even going to call him a friend. I'm going to call him a brother in Christ. Tonight, I don't know where you stand in your in this church, in your walk with Christ, and the people you've got surrounding you. But Naaman, he had somebody in his corner. When he got discouraged and he got down, he was ready to throw in the towel and say, "I'm just going to lay in the filth I'm in. It's not worth going on. It's not worth following God. It's not worth getting clean. It's not worth doing this. It's not worth doing that. I'm just going to lay here and I'm going to stay in the shape I'm in." His friends say, "If it was the way you wanted it to be done, you'd be doing it. Why don't you just try him out? Just try him out. Just try God out." So Naaman, he says, "All right, well, I'm desperate. I'm desperate." Yes. It says in verse 14, it says, "Then he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child." It says, "And he was clean." And as I got years ago when I preached this, I said something, and it's ate me up all week while I've been studying. I said that as he washed, each time he would dip 7 times, and each time he would dip, I could just imagine the skin starting to clear up and the disease starting to fall away. And this week when I was studying, I was getting into it, and the Lord showed me. He said, if he'd have dipped 6 times, he wouldn't have had a change in his life. Maybe God's been telling you to do something. You say, I'm doing everything you're telling me to do, Lord. He's saying, there's just one little thing. He's that one little sin in your life that you're not getting out. You're not getting rid of. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. He's that one little thing that you're overlooking. I think tonight as I've studied and this evening when I was studying, I got to thinking about how I scrub my hands each and every night, and knowing it's not going to do no good. Knowing it's not doing any good. I think when Naaman got down in that pool of that Jordan, and he got to scrubbing, and he scrubbed, and he scrubbed, and he scrubbed on that first wash, and nothing changed. And he scrubbed, and he scrubbed, and he scrubbed on that second wash, and nothing changed. He started to get discouraged again. I feel like he started to get a little bit disappointed again. That disease that wasn't going nowhere. And about that sixth time, I bet he was just bummed, just down and out. Lord, you told me. Lord, you told me if I do this. He said, but I'm going to trust you because I'm desperate. I'm going to wash that last time. And I think when he washed that last time, that's when he started seeing the change in his life. Each and every swipe he made, the disease started falling away. The shame started falling away. He was washed white as snow. And tonight I want you to know, as he was washing, he discovered that when you follow in the path the Lord has set for you, that's the only way revival can come. That's the only way change can come. Tonight, I want you to know I got to studying and washed, and I've talked about white as snow and all this, and nowhere through that scripture it says white as snow. But if you read all the way down in chapter 5, all the way down to verse 27, it says, "The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. I've made the statement before that church ain't nothing but a bunch of drunks, and ain't nothing but a bunch of drug addicts and liars and thieves. And the only difference is they've been washed in the blood of Jesus. They've been washed and they're different. Yeah, you know, Naaman, he was still a leper. That's what it says, but he was whiter than snow. As white as snow. I've told this story before, but I was at the lake a couple summers ago, and we was out in the water and way out in the deep swimming, and I had my life jacket on, had my hat, my sunglasses on, and man, I kicked back, I floated way on out yonder from the boat. I can't swim a lick, I can swim just enough, but you mess with me, I'm done, I can't do it. And I was kicked back there all but asleep. Next thing I know, my wife done come up under me and flipped me and got me soaking wet and everything else. And I was just done from there. So I start easing my way back to the boat. Start easing back. Still got my life jacket off. And next thing I know, she done grabbed me and started pulling me down. She thinks this is the funniest thing in the world that I can't swim. She pulling me down and I can't do nothing. And about that, I got to laughing. I chugged in a whole bunch of water. That was over with. I was done. I was drowning. And just like in the movies where you see them reaching up for the top, and you're like, just go up. You're right there. Well, I was right there. I could get my hand to the top of the water, but I couldn't do nothing else. And about 3 weeks before that, God had put I was sitting there, and I've never heard the Lord speak to me so clearly. He said, sin is like an ocean. Sin is like an ocean. All right, Lord, that's the title for a message or something. You know what? Show me. And that kept rocking on and kept rocking on. And then that weekend was at the lake, and that happened. I just felt stupid, man, embarrassed. All them people around, I'm sitting here a grown man, can't even swim, about to drown. Come up coughing, about to throw up all over everybody. And man, just felt dumb. Got in church the next morning, and I was sitting there just thinking about it. I may have been telling somebody about it, and I heard him just clear as day once again. Sin is like an ocean, and you're drowning. You're drowning. But you know, I didn't have sin going on in my life, but I had handled it. I had handled it. And them stains that was all over me, it done got deep down inside of me, and they done stained me, and I couldn't handle it no more. I was starting to drown in it. I wasn't participating in them no more. But when he had washed me white as snow, boy, I start to dirty up the blood. Starting to just drag it through the mud. Starting to abuse that grace. Don't you know the the prettiest car, I think, and I noticed that this week. There was one come in the shop. And boy, from a distance, that thing looked pretty. It had just been cleaned up. It was detailed. Man, that thing looked nice. Just a white car. Man, I love the look of a white car. Well, what's the problem with it? You can't keep it clean. You can't keep it clean. And as they drove, somebody pulled it in the shop, and I was walking around looking at it, and I started noticing the imperfections in it when I got up close and was giving it attention to detail, was just looking at it. And I started noticing where they'd missed spots, and that white wasn't as pretty as I thought it was. But you know, that's exactly where I've been, where I was in my life when I was drowning in that sin. That white, it looked good from a distance. Boy, it looked good when he washed me. There was times Satan come in and I'd handle him. I'd play with him and I'd feel of him and see what he's got to offer. Boy, I'd dirty up that white. Dirty up that scarlet. Just dirty it up. Tonight, I want you to know tonight that I love y'all. Man, I love this church. And man, that revival that Brother John Bush, I think was his name, something like that. Don't get me wrong, but whatever he was talking about. And I've been seeing on that revival just for the last couple of weeks. And all I could think was, man, I want that here. I want that same God that's over yonder to step down here in Alabama, move throughout. He said, you got to get them stains out. You got to get them stains out. Tonight, this church will never be what it needs to be if you got stains in your life. Lord, I love you and I do thank you. God, I pray tonight.